Hey all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, Susie. Hi, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up?
Well, hello and welcome to episode 120 of the Groom Pod, recorded on April 23rd, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona.
Lovely Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, lovely Tucson, Arizona and rainy Seattle again. Although, you know, everybody's here for the Northwest Grooming Show. And they actually got one day of spectacular 65-degree sunshine. The mountain was out. So everybody got to see the mountain. There was some pictures of out of the hotel rooms. So, Todd, we're going to talk about tips for when you run short on time. We're going to talk a little bit about a very on Facebook, on Groom Pod, on Stitcher, and on iTunes, on Google Play, anywhere you can get podcasts. And really, that's the best way to do it, because if I forget to post it up on Facebook, that way it just downloads automatically to your feed. And you can find all things Groom Pod related at our Amazon banner, including the all-important donation button. And we got another donation from Kathleen Townsend this week.
Yay!
Thank you, everybody. We so appreciate all of your support. It just makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside and everything. So remember to share us with all your grooming pals and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beebird.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. All right, Barbara, it's another week. Tell me what's going on.
Oh, I did a couple of unique shopping things this week that I'd like to share with you. First of all, have you ever bought a gift for a client?
You know, I've done occasionally when I come across something that really jumps out at me, I might do that. But, you know, I'm not much of a gift giver.
Well, I'm not either. But I have had, like, one time when I was traveling, I ran into a Westie item. And I had a Westie customer that I thought really would like that. And I got that. And this is just for my really A clients, you know. But what happened was that I was looking through some Groupon offerings.
I never do that. I should do that more often.
Groupon is a lot of fun. I don't do a lot of shopping on there, but every now and then something is right. And I discovered this pillow with a picture, a drawing of a corgi on it. And I have this lovely older woman client that's been my client for like 20 years. We have been through about 4 corgis sequentially, and she always rescued corgis. And she's just a supporter and a fine. She brings me the whole year of appointments typed out. And you know, she never misses. She always tips. She's just a lovely, lovely customer. And here was this really darling picture on a pillow of a corgi. And I thought, oh my God, here's a corgi that doesn't shed. It doesn't have any medical expenses. And she can always have this happy corgi face looking at her from her couch.
I love it.
I had to get it. It was like a designer pillow, like a $50 pillow that I got for $19. And it's really cute. I mean, it's better in life than it even was on the picture. And the corgi is on both sides of the pillow.
So perfect.
It's perfect. And I just feel all warm. I can't wait. Yvonne is wrapping it up for me because I didn't want to just hand it to her. You know.
Oh, this is exciting. When is she coming in?
I think she's coming in on Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
It's just like all perfect. So I can't wait to give it to her. And the other thing that I bought came across my Grommet feed. And I thought, Grommet is a company that markets small entrepreneurs' items. A lot of gadgets, I've bought some kitchenware things from them. I've got my eyeglass cleaner thing I got from them. It's called the Peeps, works pretty good. A lot of gadgets and stuff. And what I got from them is a little bell. They have a whole series of these little pewter bells that have different things etched on them, and they're blessing bells and protection bells for, you know, your loved one.
Oh, that's nice. So a little woo-woo.
And what I thought was that I would buy one of these bells and I'll put it on one of my little clips that I have so that you can change tags on your dog's collar. And I'm going to clip this to my guests that come. Remember we talked about in-home boarding?
Right.
And I board, you know, customer only dogs if the dog is a good fit with my crew. And this is going to give me another means of keeping track of my guest, because I will have this distinct bell sound, and I won't have to just go searching to see where's Duffy, and hope that, you know, it's just a nice little tracking device for an animal in your house. And I know also that a bell and a unique sound is a good way to a thing to have on old dogs
when they for sure
smile and start wandering around the premises. That's another time. But I thought this was particularly appropriate because of the blessing and the spiritual nature fits in with having a guest. And, you know,
and so when you're done, when you send the dog home, then will you send the bell home with them, or are you going to keep the bell?
I think that's optional. It's going to depend on how many days and the whole, if I'm going to see them again or whatever, you know, but it comes with a little pouch and I can keep the little pouch and then I can choose to send it along or keep it for the next guy. We'll find out about that. Will unfold as we go.
Cool. Do you have anybody staying with you this week?
This week we're by ourselves and that's kind of nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No way to test the bell yet, though.
No, but it's going to be cool, and I just can't wait. I thought it was just a really good idea.
Well, yesterday would have been my second appointment with the dog that I nicked the ear on.
Yeah. But
they canceled. And I know. I'm sad because they were such beautiful people. It was just a visual feast for the eyes going over there. But in reality, they're going to use the girl who was – Danielle's employee who is working somewhere else. They're going to go back to her. And the geography around their house was such that no matter how I parked, I was going to be at an extreme angle in the trailer. So it's not so bad. I don't feel so bad. I liked them. I liked the dog. I felt horrible about the bad first impression. It's a terrible place for me to have to park the trailer, and I'm okay with not having to go there. So she did say she'd keep my number, and who knows what'll happen in the future. I had to decide whether I was okay with that or not. You know, whether I felt like I should have gotten a second chance, but really, no, I'm okay. It's okay. I didn't need a second chance. It's okay. They can go back to the one they were happy with.
Yeah, sometimes it's okay. I had a cancellation and a loss of a customer. It was one of my new Westies this week, and she texted me a couple of days before her appointment and said that it was too far. Thank you, but she's determined it was too far, and which always makes me giggle because I have carriers driving 2 hours.
I know.
No, and then somebody across town says, "Oh, it's too hard."
Well, you know, everybody has a different priority.
Tucson traffic is kind of horrible. And, you know, and I don't blame somebody. Sometimes it's just not worth it. So I sent her back a nice little message and said that I was sorry it didn't work out. And we enjoyed taking care of the dog, whatever the dog's name was. I've already forgotten.
Straight out.
And to please feel free to, the door is always open should you change your mind, I said, you know.
Right. Yeah, good.
Yeah, you know, you just want to leave it copacetic.
Yeah. And
so I really wasn't personally harmed by that. She may, you know, and she may come back. She may go get another not so good Westie haircut and come back. And maybe she'll find somebody else. Marco is here, and he's gotten himself caught up in the tape shipping.
Oh. That was God.
That's great.
Well, here's the text that Max's mom sent me. She said, I sent her first my reminder the night before. Hi, groomer with a horrible first impression here. I have Max down for tomorrow around 10:30, just making sure it still works for you. And then she sent back, Susie, thanks for checking in. We scheduled Max to be seen by his old groomer at her new location. Thanks for your work. I'll keep in contact for the future. And I thought that was just perfect. I thought she was very nice about it. I was okay with it. And she also said she'd keep my contact information. So, you know, just one of those things, and I don't have to stand at an angle and hurt my ankles, and she doesn't have to have me, you know, cutting the dog off her ear off her dog or whatever, you know. Anyway.
Unfortunate accident. Well,
It's okay.
Okay, yeah, I know. Sometimes it's okay to lose them.
Yeah, and then I had to re-question, you know, because of my chewing gum in the brain thing, is taking Danielle's clients, is that working for me or not? You know, is it really, first of all, they're a little underpriced. Secondly, they have some odd, she's in a van, I'm in a trailer. So some of the parking locations are difficult and challenging for me. So even though I thought it was a perfect scenario, it's not quite a perfect scenario, but it is still a great deal to be able to use her clients, you know. And she did send out a massive letter with my phone number in it. I'm getting a little full though, and I'm not sure how to handle that either, because she's now sent out this email blast that has me as a reference, and I don't have a lot of space left now that I filled it all up. So I'm gonna do a little networking today at the Northwest Grooming Show and see who's out there mobile wise, who can still fit in a few more people that are in my neighborhood, and we can see if we can shuffle them through that way. We are on a tight leash today because I'm driving the hour and a half down to Tacoma to go down and spend the day with all of my grooming buddies down there at the show and do some shopping and have Randy at Precision Sharp sharpen all of my shears. I've got a big bag of shears to go. I have a shopping list. I'm bringing in a cart so I can drag everything back out to the car. And I'm picking up my friend Sharon on the way so she can do some shopping too. So it's going to be a regular day out for us.
All right. Well, I'm really sorry I can't be there. My one time at the Northwest Grooming Show was a lot of fun, and I love the hotel, and I love being up there. Always enjoy your groomers up there. A nice bunch of human beings.
That's true. We are very lucky that way. So Brandy went yesterday, and she was texting me that the trade show seemed a little smaller than usual, but I was okay in them shrinking it up, because last year they had too many of one type of vendor and then nobody was making it work for them. So the fact that they didn't take 20 shear people this year is going to be helpful, I think, for the overall success of the show.
Listen, what has happened to the whole shears marketplace?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's so crazy that I think I'm out. I'm still selling my little unique, by the way. I'm still selling my 5.5 inch curved
bevel. The detailers. Those are important.
Because you just don't see that. Sometimes you're seeing 5.5 inch curved, but often they're convex, and that's not what you want when you're doing that kind of detailing.
That is a fact.
You want that bevel edge, and I will still have those. In fact, I just bought a whole dozen of them.
Good, because those are important.
Yeah, that's an important item, and it's a $50 item. There are so everybody and their brother is selling shears, and not just at trade shows, but all of these companies that are only marketing online.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them.
And groomers just go for it, and it's just there's no loyalty there anymore.
There's no loyalty, and you can't, if you're buying stuff online like that, how do you know it's going to fit your hand? Because if it doesn't fit your hand, it might as well be junk because you're not going to use it.
Yeah.
So very interesting. And we were saturated with shear companies last year. So I'm okay with it being less shear companies. I'm even okay with there being less vendors if they're good quality vendors. That's okay. It looks like the seminars have been great. Here's a little, I don't know if it's gossip or rumor or what. I'll try to find a little bit more out today. But it appears that Oster has fired their groomers because Jay and Chris are not at the show, even though they're listed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And when Brandy tried to find out what was going on yesterday, that was the answer she got. So I will do a little more digging to see what's going on there. But I can't imagine that it was a good thing or that it was a planned thing since they were totally advertising the classes in the catalog. So, yeah, just a little.
Well, they had seminar classes as well.
Yes. Yep.
And they're not there. And what's happened to those classes? Did they bring in anybody else to do the classes?
I don't know. I'll find out when I get down there today. Oh. Because all I did was get a text message from Brandy, and it was pretty late last night, so we didn't have a big discussion about it. But I'll see her, run into her today, and then I'll go do some digging and find out what's going on over at Oster.
Yeah.
Or Oster. Oster.
I would call it Oster. Well,
especially if I'm poking around.
That's a nice little thread. Keep us informed.
Yep. Little rumor, gossip slash
rumor stuff. Yeah, we're not
above that. Not at all. So
I know I always get all upset when people come out all lily white against gossip and all kinds. Oh no.
No, we'll include a little gossip.
A little gossip, you know.
Just a little bit. I thought it was a good
here and there, like a treat. I mean, you wouldn't just pay, but you know.
It's just like adding a little cayenne pepper to our show, you know, just a little spice.
Well, industry gossip keeps the juices flowing.
Oh yeah, speaking of juices flowing, we only got one respondent about our chatting too much, and that respondent said keep chatting. So guess what?
All right, there you go, y'all.
We're going to keep chatting. So for the next 2 weeks, we've got some weirdness going on as far as when shows will be released, whether they will be new shows or they will be best ofs. And all of this is because I am going to a seminar with Olga Sublinskaya. I think I got that right.
Good girl.
I know, and I don't have it written. I was just off the top of my head, so I hope I got that right. So Olga's coming down here.
Who just had this fabulous tour of the world there.
I know.
She gets the best damn gigs.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a... Yeah, who does she work for? She
works for, you know, those...
One of the shear companies, but I can't remember
ultra,
which one.
Ultra fancy...
Super duper high end.
Super duper high end.
Yeah, but I can't remember.
What are those called? I know.
And I got 20 years under you, and I can't remember.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Well, anyway, so she is coming to Seattle to Downtown Dog, which is a really nice boarding grooming facility in downtown Seattle, to do a 2 days, 1 day hands on, 1 day observation seminar. And I am attending it, and it is on Sunday. So there will be no live recording that Sunday. And next week, Barbara herself is doing a webinar. And so there will be no live recording next week. But as you guys have been paying attention, if you've been paying attention, that is, you can see that I was late with this show. So I've got a live show pending right now. That's 3/4 of the way edited. We'll have the show we're recording right now. And then we will be back on schedule in 2 weeks from now. So just keep an eye on the Groom Pod discussion group, and I'll let you know when I'm releasing stuff, and I'll try to remember to post everything I can there. So anything to add to that, Barbara?
In June, Lisa Leedy is coming to Tucson.
Lisa Leedy is coming to Tucson, Barbara? That is awesome.
Yeah, and it's a clinic. It's a hands-on clinic. It's a full day. They have two hands-on sessions in the morning, just five slots each.
Nice.
And then an afternoon demo and Q&A, you know, just one big packed in day. So more about that as it unfolds.
So for me, Lisa Leedy has judged me more in competitions than anyone else. I know you have your Michelle Evans certification stuff. I've got Lisa Leedy judging me in tons of horrible competitions. So I really appreciate her critiques and the ability that she has to, after she looks at my dog, to communicate what changes I need to make. So I would just love to go to a seminar with her. That would be so fun. When is it?
It's in June.
All right. Well, let's take a moment to hear from Best Shot now that we've ruminated. And then we will head over to our first appointment, which is, what do you do when you're running out of time? You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. It happens to all of us. I don't think anyone in the grooming industry escapes this issue. You're working on a dog, all of a sudden you look down and time is up. You're out of time. The dog's not finished. The owner's on the way. Maybe they're in the front room already. Maybe I'm running behind as a mobile and I can see them pacing around waiting for me to get the dog in there. There are some things you can do to help the situation. And the big deal, the important thing is, this can make or break your relationship with a client, whether you're communicative, whether you're on time. Some people are really sticklers about that stuff. Now, I have managed to court people who don't really care whether I'm on time or not, which is a beautiful thing. But in a shop situation, it's a little bit different. So what are some of the things we can do when we're in a shop or in a mobile and we're running out of time?
Well, I'd like to talk about that because that happened to me this week.
Oh, crap. I wondered why. I wondered if that was the case.
Yeah, I have a client with two miniature poodles that I do in snap-on comb and scissored lamb.
Good enough.
Last month, I posted a picture of the brown little mini called Harry.
And I saw him. I remember.
He's cute. So that's what I do. So last month, when I have two dogs that come in, I have a tendency to prioritize whichever one gets on my table first, gets a little bit more of my time.
Yeah.
So I had spent extra time on Harry the brown miniature. And this month I asked to have the black mini Willow, the female, first. And oh boy, I could tell that I had kind of rushed the job last month with her. So I took a lot of time and did a really nice Scissored Lamb. And then I had some kind of an interruption come and threw me off a little bit. So suddenly I had the second dog to finish and I had 20 minutes.
Oh, that's a tight fit.
So sometimes if I can foresee the crunch, I'll text the people. I love customers that take texts.
Me too.
Boy, I don't have to hardly even stop, right? I'm sitting at the table. I can just text. I seem to be running a little late. Can I have the dog until 1:30, you know, or whatever. I do that, but you don't always hear back. In this case, I just pressed into it. And what I did is I changed the way I approached the overall grooming.
Like the order in which you do stuff?
Yeah, so first I did the head.
Right, always do the head first.
Do the head first if you're going to run out of time. Because
even if you're not.
Well, no, see, usually I groom the head last.
I know you do.
Because I make the head fit everything else instead of making everything else fit the head. I make the head fit everything else. So I usually do the head last, unless I'm running short of time. And if there's a chance that the customer's going to come before I'm done, I'd rather be scissoring the feet than the face, right?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
So I do the head and the face and do that first. And then guess what I do next?
The body?
Possibly the body, but there's another view. You know, don't we normally, we spend a lot of time on the profile, the side view.
Yep.
But do you know that the owner rarely sees the profile of the dog?
Well, I know that they certainly don't see it the way we see it. We are so critical when we look at that side profile.
That's through the eyes. What do you perceive? But they just don't see the dog in profile very often. Most often they either see front view or
the back view. The tushy.
That's the next thing. And the rear view is something that gets shorted when you run out of time, unless you do what I did this week. I did the face and then I did the rear view.
That's brilliant.
Because many times that people are looking at the dog as it's walking on a leash in front of them or as it's walking out of a room in front of them. They see that rear view way more than we pay attention to it. So I did the face, I did the rear view, I did the body, the profile, and then I started doing the scissoring, and I did the feet and that kind of stuff last. And I got it, and I did more of a rough out than a fine finish grooming. So I got the length established, I got the lines established, and I just didn't worry so much about the plush finish.
So more like a good enough grooming.
It was a good enough grooming, but it was good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and especially it worked because I had done a real detailed job on that dog the month before.
That is one of the beauties of the monthly dogs is, you know, if you have a rushed job, it's only for 1 month that the dog doesn't look exactly perfect. And then you just fix it the next time.
Yeah, I know. I 85% of my dogs are monthly or more. And I just love it that way.
Me too. So because of that, one of the things that I'll do when I'm behind, of course, I always do the head first if I'm behind because I learned that from you. And I do the head last too. So I don't know what I was talking about, but I'll do the head first. But on all of the dogs, in case I run out of time, the one thing that I do first on the head before I start the body is I get the hair out of underneath the eyes so that you can see the eyes of the dog. Then I go around the dog and do the dog. That's for my normal routine. But also when I'm in a rush, head goes first. But one of the things that I have the most difficult time, and anybody who's listened to the Groom Pod for the last year and a half knows this, is ears. Making ears even can kill 20 minutes for me because I'm trying to get them even. So if I've done a reasonable job last time, I will not be touching those ears this time. I will leave the ears alone and I will concentrate on making the legs look better rather than re-trimming up those ears if I can get away with it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I think I do that too. And that's another asset of having monthly dogs, 4 or 5 week dogs, is that those ears don't always need work on us trimming every single time.
And the tail.
Yeah, the tail too.
Sometimes if there's not a lot to do back there, then I'll leave. I'll just take a little bit off the end of the tail and I'll leave it shaped the way it was the last month and then I'll fix it the next time.
Yeah, I don't do my tails every single time. I find a good shape and then when it gets to be a little bit too much, I'll trim them. And every now and then I forget to ask the people about the tail.
Yeah.
Some people don't want you to do anything to the tail.
Yep, and then I've got a bunch who want like a husky tail on a shih tzu, you know, take it down and make it a weird little curly thing. And that is not my tendency. So if I haven't reminded myself, colored it in yellow on the card and thought about it before I even get to the house, then I'll leave that tail because I'll think it's too short. And then I'll get the, could you take his tail a little bit shorter next time? And I'm thinking, there's nothing on there. Oh, well, that's just the way it is, you know, for me.
Yeah, so, I know that it's always difficult when the customers ask for something that you think is ugly.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
See, I'm such a freaking diva artist. they don't hardly dare. You know, I love being me now. Yeah, and I'm not that bad. I'm really very accommodating. But, you know, my people, I even had one customer that's one of my snowbirds told me I don't charge enough.
Oh, my.
I had a customer tell me I don't charge enough. And it turns out that she's paying like $25 more for her groomer back home. I don't charge enough. Well, your price just went up on, you know, yeah. Next year, note on card, raise price.
Yeah, that's always interesting. I have had a few people move away and come back. One of those people is a Cocker Spaniel house that I've had for 20 years, and they moved to New York, and they came back and began paying me $120 for their cocker because they were paying so much more in New York. So they raised my price where I would have never raised them because they're practically family. But yeah, I know how that works.
it's a nice surprise when
it is. Well, one of the things that my horseshoer told me, because they do a lot that's very similar to mobile grooming, horseshoeing. You go stop to stop, stuff can happen. It can make you late, you know, that you don't expect, especially for us. For me, my biggest curse is that I talk too much. So I'll be chatting and telling stories and not realizing I'm getting behind. And at that point in time, if I pull out my schedule and I look at my day, if I were to cancel, say, so I do 10:30, 12:30, 2:30, 4:30, 6:30 appointments. So if I'm behind and it's noon and I can see I'm behind already and I'm not going to get out of there till 1 o'clock, which is going to be putting me a half an hour late for the 12:30. And I know the 12:30 is flexible. If I move the 12:30, then the other three dogs of the day will all be back on schedule. If I try to catch up and try to keep the 12:30 at 12:30, by the time I get to the 2:30, it's going to be 3:30. By the time I get to the 4:30, it's going to be 5:30 or 6 o'clock. But if I just cancel the one dog, then the whole rest of the day gets back on schedule. So that is one of the techniques that I use as a mobile groomer. Well, that I would use if I didn't already have everybody trained to know that I'm going to be late. If I had somebody that was in a situation where there was a time schedule, then that's the way I would handle that. It's a little bit different than a shop, but it can fix the situation in a much more simple manner than making the other three of your appointments during the day be later and later and later. You're only replacing or moving one of those appointments. So that's a suggestion that I have. Another suggestion is to know when good enough grooming is. And that's a big one from you, Barbara. That was another suggestion that you gave me. Sometimes grooming is just good enough. And as long as it's good enough, then send the dog home, fix it the next time.
Good enough is good enough. Yep. Yeah. And so one of the things that I do, you know, I do a lot of scissoring, but if I'm rushed like that, I'll do snap-on combs on the inside of the legs.
That's a nice tip.
See, that's another area where you can start picking away and seeing this and seeing that. The damn insides of the legs. You start seeing the inside of the back leg while you're working on the front leg. Oh, shit. And then you go there and fix it. And then, you know. So I just like, nope, I can't do any of that. Just zip, zip, zip. Snap-on comb on the insides of the legs. And if they're not perfect columns, the people aren't going to notice, but at least it's shortened.
Yes. At least you did something.
Yeah. At least you did something. So,
okay. Anything else? You know, it helps to know your clients. That's another thing. If you really know who you can move, who you can be late with and who you can't, it helps you manage.
Yeah, you need to know who you can't.
Yeah, that's a really important one.
To know who's inflexible, who is not flexible, because those people that are not flexible, they're really not.
Yep, and you can charge them a little bit more if you know it as you go along. You make their price a little bit more expensive because it does make your day more challenging when you have someone who is not flexible.
I use the Store Vantage cloud-based customer records and appointments. And it has an option out where I can privately, to my eyes only, label. I have different labels that I can attach to a file. So I have, so I have A-list. I have sometimes late. You know, I have things that I can pick, and I can check that when I make their profile. And right. I have not flexible.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I just tag that so then I know who I don't have to remember who I can move around and especially who I can't. There are some people I can text and say, it's going to be an hour more. And there's some people that just throws them off. They can't handle it. And you need to know who those not flexible people are.
Yeah, I agree.
And give them what they need.
Yep, you know? Be on time. Yeah. Or send them to someone else. If you know, being on time is too stressful for me. I don't want to have to be on time. It's too much pressure. So if you're looking for a groomer that's going to say 10:30 and is going to be there at 10:30, well, my 10:30 appointment I can usually be on time for. It's the ones after that where I've started talking that I run into the problems. But, you know, sometimes I'm just not the right groomer for you if that's the case. If you need me to be exactly on time, if you're not comfortable with me putting the dog in when I'm done and locking up after me or stuff like that, then maybe I'm not quite the right groomer for you. But I'm learning that that is not such a bad thing. It's okay.
Well, I've learned that it's not such a bad thing to cancel the dog further into the day in order to get your day back. I would rather do that. I learned the hard way that it's better to do that than to cram everybody in and then not get out of there until 7:30. People get so upset if you've had their dog for too long, and only they know what too long is.
Yep, you know? And it's a snowball effect in that case.
It's a snowball effect, and I lost a customer with two Airedales once many, many years ago because of a day like that. And if I had called and said, I'm terribly sorry to do this, but I can't do your dog today because we're just a mess over here, I would have saved that customer.
Yeah, I guess I'd say the most important part about running out of time is the communication with the customer.
Yeah, and here's where texting has just made a big difference for me. You know, they don't have to check a message. They don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to pick up the phone. And you got barking dogs and all of that going on. It's just such an easy, direct way to communicate. And I've gotten so fond of texting that I really don't like it when customers don't do texts.
I have a few I have to call, and I hate calling these people. I don't want to have a conversation because, you know, any conversation with me, as you know, from Sunday mornings is, you know, an hour and a half long.
All right.
Moving right along. Let's hear from South Park Professional Pet Products. And then we're going to learn about a very strange definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. Okay, Barbara, caffeine in your shampoo? What the heck?
Well, okay, so this came up on our Facebook page, and it turns out that it was about a human product, not a dog product. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that caffeine, caffeine is kind of, it's an ancient ingredient in a sense. Coffee has been used in spa treatments for hundreds of years, and it supposedly caffeine has certain value to skin care in that it kind of constricts blood vessels and it constricts fat cells. So it makes skin look smooth temporarily.
Okay, so I've got a question about that then. Okay. I know from my neurologist, because I had a focal migraine or something like that once, and it's been like 20 years now, but he said when you drink caffeine, it constricts your blood vessels. But is it true when you put it on a surface that it's going to have the same effect?
It does.
Okay.
I'll read a little bit from this is from an article. This is so scientific. This is so deep, dear.
It's deep. Okay, I'll get the boots.
This journal is called Skin Pharmacology Physiology.
Just by the title, you can tell it's going to be
much more science-based than this. So, of course, this is a little bit obscure in language as these science things are. But caffeine is being increasingly used. This was in 2012. Increasingly used in cosmetics due to its high biological activity and ability to penetrate the skin barrier.
Okay.
This alkaloid is frequently used as a hydrophilic model substance. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to do that. Penetration, blah, blah, blah. As for a cosmetic purpose, caffeine is used as an active compound in anti-cellulite products because it prevents excessive accumulation of fat in cells.
Okay.
Okay. Also, caffeine has potent antioxidant properties. It helps protect cells against the UV radiation and slows down the process of photoaging of the skin. I think I need to start using this stuff.
I think so.
Actually, I did. I got psyched during my research this morning. I stopped everything and I went and did a facial scrub, a sugar coffee olive oil facial scrub that I ran into. And it's just like equal parts ground coffee and sugar and enough olive oil to make a paste. And then you slap that stuff on your face and rub it in and then you rinse it off. Well, what I found was that the coffee was a little bit too rough on my 77-year-old face.
But she does have a healthy glow.
But I do have a healthy glow. In fact, I almost match my purple shirt, T-shirt. Yeah. Healthy glow. It feels great. But I love an olive oil sugar scrub on my face. The olive oil really smooths. It feels really good. If I do the coffee scrub again, I'm going to run the coffee through the coffee grinder and make it a little finer. It was a little too exfoliating.
Okay.
And so moreover, caffeine contained in cosmetics increases the microcirculation of blood in the skin. And here you go. Also stimulates the growth of hair through inhibition of some kind of reductase activity.
Oh.
So I don't know about this. Now,
That seems a little... Well, first of all, they said it penetrates the skin when we know that nothing really...
Well, no. I think it does penetrate the skin. I think that part of it is true. I read a story by somebody that went to a fancy spa in some other country and did a full body coffee treatment.
Yeah.
She got really sick a few hours later. I mean, she got really sick. She had to have the doctor come to her room at the resort. She was vomiting. She was all jacked up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because you didn't say nothing gets through. You've said that it's difficult to get through that barrier.
Well, but it does seem to be that caffeine is a skin penetrator.
Okay.
I'm going to give them that. And I did find a shampoo on Amazon. Amazon is a really good resource for finding out stuff. It's a part. It's almost as important as Google.
It's a research tool. It's a good research tool.
It's a tool. So here was this stuff from Wick and Strom Apex Crown Hair Loss Shampoo, and it had a number of different ingredients. But it said caffeine can help guide your follicles' behavior. This is like a follicle behaves.
Really?
Guide your follicles' behavior and could play an important role in regulating hair growth. A study published in a leading dermatology journal found that the presence of caffeine stimulated laboratory-cultured hair follicles and could increase hair growth. That might, it might increase hair growth is what they're going to say. So it stimulated laboratory cultured hair follicles. These are hair follicles.
They're fake.
They're synthetic. Hair follicles that have somehow been extracted from the scalp and then they're in petri dishes.
They've like grown some hair follicle, or they've removed them, set them up so that they're continuing to grow. That seems weird.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I would have to see it.
Yeah,
I would have to see the study and see they did not give me the reference on Amazon. You're lucky to get that anywhere,
right?
But I think that's a stretch. And I'm hoping that caffeine doesn't come into the pet shampoos because it might penetrate.
Yeah, nobody wants to feel like they're jacked up if that's not what they wanted.
Yeah, if that's not what they wanted. And yeah. I did say that most commercially available Cosmetics topical formulations with caffeine contain 3% caffeine. So it does have established uses. However, it's kind of a fad ingredient, you know, and it's probably, and it makes its appearance mostly in eye creams for under the eye bagging. So supposedly it tightens and, you know, kind of temporarily reduces the bagginess, but it can't do anything. And it said, I read that it can't do anything for the darkenness of under eye circles, but it can reduce the puffiness temporarily. And it's used in anti-aging things, and it's to the point now where it's used kind of for recognition value. You know,
is it in fairy dust proportions?
Fairy dust proportions, yeah. Okay. So it's just enough so it can appear on the label, and you will remember having read something about, oh yeah, I heard that was good for puffy eyes or cellulite. You know.
Well, yeah, we're learning not to be fooled by all this marketing here on the Groom Pod. That's one of the things that we, as your hostesses, want to convey to you guys is learn to read past the marketing. And in this case, I'm thinking that if it does show up in pet shampoo, I'm going to stay away from it like the plague, because I don't want to affect my animals that way.
I don't think we need to get that fancy. And you know, I'm just hoping that the pet industry doesn't follow I don't mind having argan oil.
Right.
It's good oil. It has definite profile that is desirable for pet use, but caffeine just doesn't. We don't need to minimize wrinkles, you know.
Well, I get all of my caffeine from Pepsi, so that's where mine comes from. I don't need to absorb any more through the skin. I'm getting enough through the other way. All right. Well, let's take a moment. All right. So, Barbara, you have been busy researching on Amazon, but Amazon is also a great way for our listeners to support the Groom Pod. Now, the donation button, that's been awesome. It's been hot. We have a hot donation button right now. But if you guys don't have any money to donate, don't want to tip your hostesses, which we're okay with that. We want to put this stuff out here. You can support the show by going to Amazon through our website. So go to www.thegroompod.com, scroll down and click on one of the Amazon banners, and that will take you into Amazon's website. But they know you went there through the Groom Pod. And then when you do your shopping, we get a tiny fraction of a commission off of what you buy. It doesn't cost you guys anything extra, but it really does help support the nuts and bolts of running this show, as in the bandwidth and the storage and the equipment that we have to buy. That all comes from the Amazon banner donation, the Amazon banner system. So,
which some people have identified their donation from Amazon as a miserly pittance.
Yes,
it seems like a British cosmetic scientist has a blog that's supported on Amazon. A miserly pittance at best.
You know, it is a miserly pittance, but
miserly pittance can add up.
They do, and it's managing to cover our bandwidth.
The thing of it is, it doesn't cost you as the purchaser any more. The miserly pittance is kind of worked into the Amazon price, which is almost always a pretty good price.
Yep, it seems to be very competitive with everything else. And for the fact that they support us so well, we are eternally grateful. And we're grateful that you guys take the time to go to our website, click through the banner, and do your shopping. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. All right, over to the At the Table segment. Barbara, I went to Cascade Grooming Supplies a few weeks ago to see my friend Michael down there, and he gave me a new shampoo that's being put out by Easy Groom. And then I purchased another couple other varieties of Easy Groom shampoo because I like the way they smell. However, shortly upon starting to use these three small bottles of shampoo, my fingers all split. I mean, it's not cold out anymore. We're not hot by any means, but we're 50 degrees. I don't have fingers splitting unless it's down at 30 degrees, 35 degrees. Then my fingers will split no matter what I'm doing. What? Why would my fingers split now? Is it the shampoo? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, it seems to be an interesting coincidence. I went to the Easy Groom website. Easy Groom has been on our approved company list because they have a history. They were really one of the first companies to start disclosing ingredients. And for many years, their MSDS sheets listed the ingredients at the top of their sheets. Easy Groom, I'll tell you, Easy Groom was originally formed by a cosmetic chemist and formulator named Ellie Miser. And Ellie was really helpful to me when I first started teaching about, well, inquiring and being inquisitive and interested in ingredients. He was one of the only companies that encouraged my curiosity, and he would answer chemical questions, and he liked that I, you know, was stumping him. You know, he really supported me, and I in turn supported Easy Groom.
Yes, he was willing to have the dialogue where so many people weren't even willing to have the dialogue with you.
Yeah, I mean, and he taught me just a number of things by allowing me to ask him questions. I mean, I could just call him up and have a conversation. It didn't happen a whole lot, but there were some critical points that he helped me understand about surfactants and various ingredients. I still have a lot of his MSDS sheets in my, I have a notebook of them, as a matter of fact, and with the ingredients listed. Now, what I have noticed is several years ago, it might even be 10 years now, he retired and sold the company to somebody who worked for him briefly as his marketer. So he sold the company to a person that had a marketing background, but not the cosmetic science background, right?
Yeah.
Now, the shampoos, I don't think, I can't tell whether the shampoos have changed or not.
They seem to be the same as I remember them, because I use this orange one pretty regularly.
I think they're probably the same, but I'm looking at, anyway, the newer products don't have the ingredients listed on the MSDS sheets, but good news, they're listed on the bottle.
Yep, they're listed on the bottles that I picked up.
So I was able to get the ingredients for the pomegranate shampoo, and I don't see anything here that's really irritating. It's a sodium lauryl sulfate, SLES, with some kind of semi-novel ingredients like cocamidopropylamine oxide, as well as cocamidopropylbutane. It's got a co-surfactant sodium tridacet sulfate, which is a very mild, so they have a moderately harsh detergent with a mild detergent and a couple of betaines in there. And then here's an interesting ingredient that I don't recognize, acetamidopropyl trimonium chloride. I'd have to look that up. Silk amino acid, a preservative, disodium EDTA. And because they have the disodium EDTA, which is probably in there mostly as a booster for the preservative system.
Okay.
But it also helps It's a chelator. If you have extremely hard water, these Easy Groom shampoos can be a good choice. I don't see any reason here for these shampoos to be splitting your fingers, but it could just be that it's fairly harsh.
So what I usually use, I'd say 80% of the time I'm using a Best Shot product when I'm working, 80%. And then I've got a bunch of show season, like the clarifying stuff, right? But when I picked these three shampoos up, I pretty much exclusively used these shampoos and left everything sitting for a little while, the novelty of having the nice smells and all. And that's why I think it's so coincidental that my fingers split, because I was not having any problems with that. Now, mind you, folks, if your fingers are splitting, the best thing out there that I have found so far is gloves in a bottle. And gloves in a bottle does not wash off. It bonds with your skin. It leaves a layer of protection, but you have to apply it 3 or 4 times during the day for it to really work. So now I've got 2 fingers taped up. I'm applying gloves in a bottle like crazy, doing the best I can to try to stop the splitting from going on. And hopefully I think I've got most of it under control. I've actually got my pinky unwrapped today, but it's got a split out the end too. I just think it's so weird. The other shampoo company that seems to do this to me with regularity is one that does not disclose their ingredients, and that is Le Pooch. Le Pooch shampoo split my fingers. I always use them in the winter time, so I was never really 100% positive that it was just the shampoo, but it is undeniable that when I get the Le Pooch de Noël, my fingers start to split.
Well, it would be interesting. Let's just put the question out, but it would be interesting to know if any of our listeners have experienced skin irritation or finger splitting from the Easy Groom products. Let's just
look. Yes. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I'm going to put that up right now. Well, I'll put it up when I post the show. But yeah, you guys, let us know. I am totally curious. Or if there's another product.
Okay. So I suspect that there's individual products that have had individuals have had bad experiences with. I think it's kind of random, and it's going to be not too much that we can nail down, but so-and-so will have had a problem with such and such a shampoo, and another person will have had a problem with something that I get along with just fine. And you know, and it's going to be kind of isolated individual events, but we need to ask.
Yeah, and I suspect some of it is my own personal pH balance and skin construction and all that.
You know, and the truth is, all shampoos have detergents that are defatting agents. I mean, they defat the lipids in your skin. And it could just be that this particular combination of ingredients that seems to be kind of across the board with Easy Groom, they're not... Not every list is exactly the same, but there's a lot of commonality there.
Yeah. Well, cool. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And we're just going to open the door. We can't close the door today. We can't make any statements, you know. And we're not saying that these are bad shampoos.
I actually like the way they clean most of the time.
Probably are very good cleaners. See, that's just it. Sometimes very good cleaning shampoos are just a little bit not so skin friendly.
All right. Well, thank you, Barbara. And I don't mean to rush us, but I got to get down to Tacoma. There's stuff to buy. People might be buying. There might not be anything left when I get down there if I don't hurry. At least from the pictures I've been seeing on everybody's Facebook page, there's been a lot of shopping happening. All right. So guys, be prepared for a sporadic release schedule for the next couple weeks, and then we'll be back onto our regular schedule on the Facebook page. Thanks for shopping at Amazon with us. Thanks for the donations. Happy grooming. We'll see you guys next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye, Susie. Bye, groomers.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.groomblog.com. www.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.